You're a farmer or rancher. Your success depends on the weather, which means certain things are out of your control, such as rain, hail, fire, crop failure, and other unforeseen conditions. But you have a business to run. Protect yourself and insure your risk with American Ag Credit, so you can rest easy knowing that we'll be there for you no matter what tomorrow brings. American Ag Credit. Money for agriculture.
Good morning, Napa Valley. This is Tia Butts, and I am here with Kara May.
Good morning, Napa.
And we are here with Farmers Fresh Hour, our weekly radio show where we go behind the scenes of your local farmers market, the Napa Farmers Market in particular.
That's right.
Talk to all of our producers and our vendors and hear the stories behind the food. So we want to thank you to our sponsor, shout out a thank you, that is, to our sponsor, American Ag Credit, Money for,
Agriculture.
Yes, we have to do that
in stereo.
We did. Let's do it again. Okay. Shout out to our sponsor, American Ag Credit,
Money for Agriculture.
We love entertaining ourselves
here. We're going to be on their commercials soon.
Kara May have had like 2 weeks of like lots of sugary substances
yes,
in the studio. So I think we're just on this perpetual like sugar high where we're just, there's lots of giggling. And
Well, and it's also, this is our second to last show. So I'm a little hyped up and hyper and sad at the same time.
Oh, me too. I know. It's been such a great year, hasn't it?
It's been fantastic.
We've had so much fun.
I hope everyone listening's had fun.
I know. I do too. And actually, you know, and even for those listeners that may be new listeners just coming on to the Farmers Fresh Hour, I want to give a shout out to a young man I met this morning who was really wonderful at one of our local coffee purveyors. And I was in there and he was just chatting it up with all of the customers, really making everyone feel important and loved and our community, right?
Exactly.
Like, and so, David, you were very interested in getting all the details of how to listen to Farmers Fresh Hour on KVON 1440 AM. And so if you're listening right now, because I know you were going to tune into the podcast later, just a shout out and a thank you to you for starting my morning off right.
That's cool. Awesome.
Yeah, really cool.
Well, you know, that's nice that folks in the community and stores do that, because I feel like we have that kind of relationship with our vendors at the market, you know.
Absolutely.
You know them, you know your favorite farmers and your favorite, you know, cookie, Annie, you know, purveyors.
Yeah, exactly. Annie the baker. Little subliminal message there.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. It was like such a great example of everything that's wonderful about Napa.
Yes.
Everything that I love about Napa, and that's exactly what our farmers market is too.
Yeah, that's true.
So we are open year round on Saturdays from 8:30 to 1 p.m. at the Napa Farmers Market, and we hope you're taking full advantage of that. And we are looking for your help.
That's right. This is our Give Guide fundraising season. The Napa Farmers Market is in the Napa Valley Give Guide, and we are raising money for our CalFresh Market Match program. So if you go to NapaValleyGiveGuide.org and you find the Napa Farmers Market, you're able to make a donation of your choice starting at $10. Hopefully you find the Farmers Market.
Right. I hope everybody can find, you know, $10 is not a huge ask. I think that's doable for a lot of people.
It is.
It's a couple of coffees, basically, right?
That's right. Nowadays it is. And what the Give Guide wants to do is inspire a community of givers, which is why, you know, encouraging anyone to give at $10 seems doable. So what we're doing with the money that we raise is we are using them for Market Match program. And the Market Match program actually doubles CalFresh or food stamp dollars that low-income customers can use at the market to purchase nutritious produce and things that they can take home and enjoy. So far, we have raised $1,675.
Okay, hold on. We're going to do a little applause for that.
Ooh, love the applause.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. And so 32 folks have decided to donate that varying amounts to total up to $1,675. And the good news is we have 19 days left to continue those donations coming in through the NapaValleyGiveGuide.org.
That's a long time. That's almost 3 weeks.
You know, and I feel like a lot of folks do enjoy giving at the end of the year, whether it be because they're feeling, you know, the spirit or because they want to get tax reasons in. Whatever it is, we don't care.
Yes.
We'll take it. And what we do is we double the amount that low-income families can spend on end market produce. And I have a really great quote from one of our vendors, actually, from Ohm Coffee Roasters.
And thank you, Derek.
Thank you, Derek. Yes. So Ohm Coffee Roasters made a donation, and they posted on Facebook saying, "It was our honor to make a donation to the Napa Farmers Market via their Napa Valley Give Guide donation page. We got our start at the market and love being a part of the community of farmers, artisans, and shoppers that come together every market day. 100% of this donation goes towards matching CalFresh EBT benefits so our less food secure neighbors can double their grocery purchasing power when shopping at the market while supporting local farmers."
Love it. I couldn't have said it better myself.
I know. Well done, Derek and Ohm Coffee Roasters. We thank you for your donation. And I like what he highlighted and what they highlighted in that, you know, the Market Match program obviously supports those families in need of food, but it supports our farmers too.
Absolutely. You know, it's a whole economic circle.
And it supports the market in general because it makes sure that we're financially stable, that farmers want to come here to Napa because we sure want them here. And
that's right.
We're going to go we're going year round on Saturdays. It's happening. So
that's right.
We need everyone to keep coming out 8:30 to 1 a.m. or 1
that's,
p.m.
That's right. Yeah, no, 1 a.m. Boy, that would be a
long market.
That'd be a long market. Talk about year round. That's like 24/7. So speaking of the Give Guide, later on in the show, we look forward to talking with Hillary Zunin.
Yes, I'm excited.
So she is one of the.
I would call her the mastermind.
Yeah, the mastermind behind the Give Guide, right?
She's with Can Do.
Yes.
So the Napa Valley Give Guide is organized as one of Can Do's fabulous projects, and she's really a wonderful person to have in that role because she's got such great ideas and great spunk.
I love it. Okay, so as for what else we have going on in the show today, you know, I don't know if you know this, but the tongue is sensitive to 5 different tastes: sweet, sour, salt, bitter, and savory.
I think I
remember heard that before.
I remember learning that at some point.
You
in
see,
my
like
life.
The little tongue map. Often you see those,
yes,
and
right.
I know in the wine business, a lot of people in the wine business here in Napa Valley hear that used a lot, and we talk a lot about, you know, tasting and flavors. But on today's show, we're going to tickle your taste buds and touch on a few of those tastes with 2 farmer guests who are providing products that do just that. We will have Mark Gavilovsky, which I had to ask how to pronunciate his name correctly or pronounce his name correctly. I can't talk this morning.
Yes,
as you can see,
okay.
I need more coffee. Mark will be here to talk about the incredible French cucumbers they've been bringing to the market. I've bought several of them.
Yes.
They're so delicious their own, but I understand they're great for pickling,
wow,
too.
That's exciting news.
And so we're kind of going to get into pickled and fermented things today.
Cool.
Then we're going to jump into the bubbling world of fermented foods with Dave Edmondson of Salt and Savor, who is our first sauerkraut vendor at the market. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have they been to the market yet?
Yes, they have.
Okay, I missed last week.
They are finishing out their first month, and it's really fun. He has all different kinds of flavors, and so you can sample them at his little stand. And I'm down with the fermented foods because, you know, considering all these cookies and other things that we're eating, sometimes it's nice to sort of clear the palate and something, you know.
What Karame is trying to say is we're trying to have a little balance
here
on the show. You know,
right.
We've been talking about a lot of sweets the last couple of shows, and now we need to get healthy again.
We do, yeah.
So, fermentation, for those of you who don't know, is the process by which sugars are converted into acids, gases, or alcohol, which then brightens flavor. So we hear about fermentation again a lot in winemaking.
Of course.
And, you know, big here. And, of course, we have a lot of breweries that have opened. But there's a lot of great fermented foods. And as they say, you know, most of our immune system is located in our gut.
That's right.
And this is where fermented foods come in because they're really good sort of probiotics for our body.
Yes. So especially if you're eating tons of cookies and pastries.
Exactly. Which is exactly what we all need to be thinking about with this holiday season because all of us tend to overindulge a little bit. But all right, we're going to go to a quick break and we're going to get Mark Gavilovsky on the phone. And when we come back, more on all things pickled and fermented. Stay tuned.
As a farmer or rancher, you know that agricultural land is not like other real estate. We know that too. Come see the experts in agriculture, American Ag Credit. Whether you're buying property, building, or making improvements, American Ag Credit is here to help with fixed rates, variable rates, long and short-term loans. Unique solutions tailored to your unique needs. Visit us online at agloan.com. American Ag Credit, money for agriculture.
That was a little Run With Patience. They're one of our bands that we have had at the Napa Farmers Market in years past. Welcome back to Farmers Fresh Hour. We are brought to you by American Ag Credit, money for agriculture. And as we were talking before the break, we are spending the day on a little bit of pickled and fermented foods. And speaking of pickles, we are going to get into the world of cucumbers. Mark, do we have you on the line? Mark? Hello, Mark. I see you on the line, but I don't hear anyone.
Will Marcencia, our fearless leader here at KVON.
Wait, let's try this again. Mark, are you there?
Yep.
Ah, I was pressing up the wrong button, as usual. It's my fault.
Always exciting.
Hello there. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing great.
Good.
Another day at the farm, getting ready for the next season.
Oh, we love that. So, Gavilovsky, that's not a name we commonly hear around here. So, what's your family's heritage?
We're still trying to do some research on this matter. I am actually the one who is doing the most of the research. But we believe it's coming from Polish side of Jewish people. That's where the main part of the last name is coming from. But mainly, all of us grew up in Ukraine, eastern part of Europe.
Wow, that's amazing. So,
well, that's good to know, because here in the U.S., you know, we always wonder where the heck we came from. So it's not just an American problem. So
no,
migration affects the whole world.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
So was it your, I understand you work at Gavel Farm is the name of your farm. Is it Gavel Farm or Gavel's Farm?
Gavel's Farm.
Gavel's Farm.
Yes.
Okay.
For now, it's just one farm. Not
sure. Maybe someday, huh?
Yeah, we're definitely looking into it.
Now, I understand you work with your uncle, Serge. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And so tell us about the history of your farm and how it came to be, given that you're from the Ukraine.
Yes. So the way it all started is when I was 4 years old. And 1999, Serge and his wife, Tanya, they decided to start growing some tomatoes and cucumbers because they felt the need in the community where they were growing it, because there was just not enough of the quality product. So with this in mind, with just the quality always being there, they started doing it. And with years, they just kept on perfecting their ways of traditionally growing it, because we are trying to keep it as simple as possible, as traditional as possible.
Very nice.
That's wonderful. So where are you located?
Our farm is located in Winters, California. It's about, I would say, 20 minutes north of Vacaville. Mm-hmm. We have a little half-acre greenhouse here, and we are just using it to the fullest extent we can.
That's awesome. Funny story. I actually lived in Winters for a year, which Ooh. Not many people can say.
No. Yes. It's a great little town over it there, is. Though. Yeah. I think it's really cute.
It's a great little place. It's coming up little by little. I feel like there are more people coming in there for some reason, just getting a little like a attraction place for people around here.
That's right. Is the Buckhorn
the
still
fact
there?
That there's also a beautiful Lake Berryessa right next to
Yes. Is the Buckhorn still there?
I haven't seen it, but it's probably because I'm usually mainly spending the most time in the greenhouse, not in
okay.
the actual city.
Of course. And we do appreciate that. So tell us, how many different varieties of crops do you farm?
Right now, as we speak, we are taking down our cucumbers. Unfortunately, they are coming to an end due to the weather conditions. Aww. It's just getting a little bit colder. We're getting less sun, so the cucumbers are not going to be the same quality as we would like to. So we don't want to bring the half quality to the markets, so we're just taking them down. We are in the middle of preparing everything for planting the tomatoes right now. So as far as the cucumbers, it's only one variety. It's a French cucumber called Baby Blanca. And as far as the tomatoes go, this season we're going to be bringing in about 16 different varieties.
Well, your cucumbers have my girlfriend Bailey. We were eating a salad last night that had kale and cabbage and your cucumbers. And she said, oh, my gosh, this is the best cucumber I've ever had. So
I'm glad to hear that.
That's right. How many more markets can we see you at the Napa Farmers Market?
With the cucumbers, I would say one. Definitely.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So you got to get them while you can.
You're on the map for Saturday, so.
Yeah, definitely.
That's wonderful.
Well, we have the mandarins. We will not be able to bring them this market since the meteorologist told us that there are going to be some rains around this area. And with all the rains, you cannot pick the mandarins because they will spoil faster. So, again, we're trying to keep the quality the best we can so we can bring the best stuff to the markets.
Wonderful. But possibly in the future, maybe with some mandarins?
Yeah, definitely. We will still try to keep the mandarins for maybe, I don't know, a month or a month and a half or something like that.
That's great.
Yeah, it's great to see all the citrus coming in this time of year. And then
yeah.
for your other big, big winner, the tomatoes, how long does that take for them to start coming in?
Well, since we were able to get some of our stuff done a little bit earlier this season, and we've done some testing as far as how well the tomatoes will be able to live through the winter, I would say next year is going to be even faster. But this year coming up, we should have some of our tomatoes ready in February.
Oh, wow.
That's great. So tomatoes in February. I think that may be the earliest I've ever had fresh, organically
very
grown
early,
tomatoes.
But it's going to be good.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, it sounds like you're dedicated to quality, so we trust you, Mark.
So since we do get your cucumbers for at least one more market, tell mm-hmm. us how you like to prepare your cucumbers. Of course, Cara Mae was talking about the salad, mm-hmm. and I've certainly eaten them raw. They're great, but I also understand they're a good pickling cucumber.
Yeah, so as you said, salads and eating them raw is all the freshness from them, unadulterated cucumber smell and taste. You sprinkle some little salt on it.
Cucumber sandwiches. We could have tea and cucumber
definitely.
Sandwiches.
Very fancy.
Yes.
But as far as my own taste, I would say my personal best way for me to eat a cucumber is I do the little 3-day what is it called? I pickled them for 3 days.
Oh, like a brine?
With a little recipe that we have. It's actually on our Instagram page.
Oh, cool.
It's very, very easy. Just put some cucumbers, wash them first. Maybe cut off the ends so it'll be penetrated better with all the brine.
Uh-huh.
But take those washed cucumbers, put them in a jar, put some horseradish leaves in there, maybe some grated horseradish
Some root.
Yeah. The roots, yeah, actually, the roots. Take some dill, put it in a jar, about 3 ounces of vinegar, and then top it off with water. add some peppers, salt, some, I don't know, maybe hot chili peppers if you like a little bit more kick to it. And then I never stop at this point. After 3 days, you can just start eating them if you like, really, really like just the pickled cucumbers. Or what I do is I just take those pickles out of the jar. I finally chop them to make a little, like a very, very fine relish.
Ooh.
Do not add anything but one thing, a little bit honey.
Oh, wow.
A little bit more sweetness to it, and I just keep the relish in the jar. I put it on my hot dogs. I put it in some sandwiches and all that stuff. It's amazing.
That is an amazing recipe. I can't wait. That's actually one of my favorite foods in the world. I'm sure hot dogs aren't all fantastic for you, but what I do love them as a treat, and I have to have, you know, relish and onions and mustard on my hot dogs.
Yes,
so
I always think of a hot dog as not as a just a meal, but as a vessel for all the stuff that I can put on it.
Exactly.
For sure.
We're with you on that one, Mark. Wow, that sounds like an amazing recipe. And actually, it would be good on any variety of things, you know, sandwiches and hamburgers and you name it. So we can find that recipe on your Instagram page?
That is correct.
And that's
Gavel's Farms.
Gavel's Farm. Okay, great. Okay. And so tell us, you are, I mentioned this earlier, but I just want to be sure, you are certified organic. Is that correct?
We are not certified.
Oh, you're not. I'm sorry.
And I can explain you the reasons behind it.
Okay.
So we grow everything as organic. The only thing we're missing is a little paper called the certificate. The reason behind it is we are still a very, very small farm. We're just starting in. We're just getting into the bigger markets in the area so we can get more product out there. The only problem is our government wants a lot of money for it.
Sure.
So in order for you to get the one little piece of paper, you have to pay a lot of money.
Exactly.
So at this point, in order for us to keep the amount going as we are right now and keep the quality going, we have to cut down on that budget that we have saved up for the certified organic, the actual certificate. So in future, we are definitely, once we get to a certain point where we can dedicate a certain amount of money to the certificate, we'll get it done. But as of right now, the only thing we're using is certified organic chicken manure that we put in the ground before we plant our tomatoes and our cucumbers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just water them.
Right.
Okay.
Well, you know, it's good for people to hear that, though, because, you know, this is small farming, right? Like, and, you know, the reality is that you have to work very hard for this, and it takes a lot of effort. And just because, you know, maybe you're not all the way there yet doesn't mean that you've taken all the steps to do that.
Sure.
So
that
it's good for people to understand the economics of small farming, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
So Mark, what's your favorite thing about the Napa Farmers Market since you've been coming to us for some time?
We've been coming to Napa Farmers Market, the Tuesday and the Saturday one, since spring this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I'll tell you one thing, we love it.
We love you.
It feels like a family when you come there. Everybody's smiling always. Everybody, if you need something done, if you have a problem, everybody will be always welcome to help you. That is very, very soothing. And you just, when you go there, you feel the calm and heart that whatever happens, it doesn't matter. Everything will be fine.
That's right. We can get through it together.
Exactly.
Yeah, it feels like you're not by yourself in it. That's the really good thing about it.
Very cool.
That's perfect. That's exactly what we love. And we were talking about that sense of community earlier, and it's really important to us. And I think it really demonstrates what Napa and Napa Valley is all about. So before we let you go, since you've teased us and told us we can expect not cucumbers, but tomatoes in February, mm-hmm. what varieties of tomatoes will be coming around that time?
Ooh, so I've mentioned that we will have 16 different varieties.
Mm-hmm.
I am still in the middle of trying to remember different varieties, the way they look and everything, so I'll be able to actually say tell people proper names of them on the market. But I can name a few of them. My personal favorite one, just because the way it looks like and the way it tastes, it's Great White. It's a white tomato.
Wow.
With a very, very sweet taste. It feels like sometimes when you eat it, it feels like less of a tomato but more of a peach.
Wow, that's fascinating. I've never seen anything like that.
They're also
Sunkiss.
There is Nada, which is our most, the tomato that we grow the most. It's like a red tomato, kind of like a beefsteak. We have Pink Crim. We have Porpora, Hilma. So you can expect a lot of different tomatoes, different sizes, different colors, different tastes, acidity levels, everything.
That's fantastic. And that's what we love about the market is when folks come to get their tomatoes, they can talk to the experts like you and say, this is what kind of the tomato I need, and then you can point them in the right direction.
Oh, yeah. We have a tomato for a salad, for a sandwich, for a tomato paste, for anything you name. We have a tomato for it. The thing about why we grow different tomatoes of different colors is very important. Not a lot of people pay attention to it, but there are certain diseases that people have that are connected to, let's say, color of a produce that they eat. Some people cannot eat stuff that has red color in it just because it the different chemicals inside of it, the organic chemicals that tomatoes produce themselves, they don't work for those people. So we have different types of tomatoes to make sure that everybody, whoever comes in, they will be able to pick that one thing that they can eat.
Wow.
And they will love it.
That's really cool. I didn't realize that. So really interesting piece of information.
So much thought goes
into
it.
Yeah. And so nice that you're thinking of all of the consumers at the market. So that's
definitely
great.
And it looks pretty, too.
I would actually tell you, I believe we're planning on planting some of those tomatoes, a very interesting variety called Kumat. It's a type of a tomato. It's less sweet than a usual tomato, and it's a little bit more firm, but it's a very good tomato because it has certain certain qualities that help with battling cancer.
Wow.
So we would like to introduce different things because some people research their stuff when they have a problem and they come in and they ask, hey, do you have any Kumas? We're like, yes, we do. And that's the best thing we can say to a person, that we do have something that they look for.
That's wonderful.
Very
well,
good.
Thank you so much, Mark. That was a mouthful.
Yep.
I'm not speaking my best today, but we are so excited that you and Gavel's Farm are at the Napa Farmers Market, and we look forward to seeing you on Saturday and hope that everyone will come down and grab those last cucumbers before they're gone.
They're going to
definitely get them while they're still up.
Yeah. I'm going to come clean you out.
They're going to be a hot commodity. Exactly. And then we look forward to those delicious tomatoes, including the unusual varieties, like the white tomato.
The white shark.
Yeah. Great white.
The great white.
Yeah,
white.
I know. All I could picture was a great white shark when you said that, but then it tastes like a peach. That's so intriguing. Well, again.
I mean, once we have them, I'll give you a taste. I'll have a taste for everybody.
Oh,
yay.
Perfect.
We
yay. Wonderful. All right. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us, Mark. We really appreciate your time, and we will see you on Saturday.
See you at the market.
Thank you very much for having me, and definitely I will be there on Saturday.
Absolutely. All right. When we come back from Farmers Fresh Hour, we will be back with Dave Edmondson of Salt and Savor. Stay tuned.
You're a farmer or rancher. Your success depends on the weather, which means certain things are out of your control, such as rain, hail, fire, crop failure, and other unforeseen conditions. But you have a business to run. Protect yourself and insure your risk with American Ag Credit, so you can rest easy knowing that we'll be there for you no matter what tomorrow brings. American Ag Credit. Money for agriculture.
All right. Welcome back to Farmers Fresh Hour, brought to you by American Ag Credit.
Money for agriculture.
In stereo, as we like to do it. I believe we have someone on the line with us, Dave Edmondson, who has been making traditionally fermented sauerkraut in his kitchen for quite a while now. Dave, are you there?
Good morning. Yeah. Hi.
Good morning. Great to have you.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, is this Kara May?
This is. Good morning.
Hi, Kara May and Tia.
Hello. We're so happy that you were able to join us this morning. So,
yes.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Well, we were talking a little while ago with Gavel's Farm, Mark there, and he's been bringing these wonderful cucumbers to the market of late.
Oh,
and
those are beautiful.
Oh, yeah. They're just gorgeous, right?
We're in love
with
cucumbers.
Yeah, we are. So, you know, and so we were talking a little bit about how he, you know, pickles them and makes a relish. So now we're going to go into the fermentation side of things, because I understand fermentation, you know, has been around even before pickling and canning.
Probably so, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So how did you get interested, because you're making sauerkraut specifically, how did you get interested in doing that in the fermentation process?
Well, I guess the short answer is that I fell in love with raw sauerkraut. I had it for the first time probably about 8 to 10 years ago.
Okay.
And I just got curious about it and had to learn to make it. So I started off doing that at home and kind of fell in love with it. I was giving lots away and just experimenting with different flavor combinations, and had friends that would say, you know, I'd be willing to buy this from you. And I didn't really want to sell it at the time, but then it kind of dawned on me. I wasn't very happy with my job, so maybe I'll try to sell this. Let's see if anybody will buy it.
So what was your other job? What did you used to do before you were a sauerkraut maker?
I've done about everything, but I moved to Northern California from Los Angeles 13 years ago. In 2005, I was a real estate appraiser, and business was booming. I thought, well, I'll move to this little town of Dunsmuir that I was kind of in love with, and thought I'd have a nice, idyllic life. It would be quiet. I'd do, you know, two or three appraisals a week and kind of live the dream. And 2008 happened, and the real estate market just kind of dumped, and I was with work and ended up having to go to work for someone, and I was miserable there. And
that's always a sign, right? It's time for a change.
Yeah.
So, well, you definitely don't seem miserable now when you're at the market. You're one of the most peppy people.
I love what I do. I mean, there's, you know, it's like any job. There's a whole lot of monotonous work to it. You know, trimming cabbage is not exactly...
Well, so let's get into
it's
the
wine. It's I get to do it. You know, I come in. I'm actually in my kitchen today. I chopped cabbage yesterday, and I'm just putting equipment away today, and hanging out here, having some coffee, and
chatting with us.
Awesome.
On the radio.
We're having our coffee too, so this is perfect. So
yes, not a bad life.
Not a bad life. So tell us what is your process for making your sauerkraut? I mean, where do you get your cabbage from? Give us a little start to finish.
So I buy from a wholesaler. So this is you know, wholesalers that sell to restaurants and grocery stores, and so the cabbage is all California grown. All organic. You know, I have different spice providers, and I'm not quite at the size where I can contract directly with the farm. Mm-hmm. I would like to get to that, but I'm not there yet.
Hashtag goals.
Exactly. And let's see. So bring the cabbage in, and when I buy, I bring it in and chop it that day. So you cut cabbage, mix it with salt and spices, and put it in the fermentation tank and leave it alone for minimum 3 weeks.
And so does it do it on its own? Like, is it just a natural process?
Right. It does it on its own. You can. There are kraut makers who add a starter culture, but traditionally that was never done. There's bacteria that exists on the cabbage, and if you give the bacteria the right environment, you want to... You add the salt, and blocking out the oxygen helps suppress the bad bacteria, while the good bacteria can multiply and consume the sugar in the cabbage and produce lactic acid.
Exactly.
That's very
cool. Kind of like winemaking, if people are using natural yeast or something.
Wine and beer, use yeast to consume the sugar to create alcohol, and in sauerkraut, it's bacteria rather than yeast. And the bacteria are bacteria that produce lactic acid.
Yeah, I'm envisioning good bacteria and bad bacteria, like the angel bacteria and the devil bacteria on each shoulder.
Right. One's on the left shoulder, one's on the right. Yeah, and you want to knock that bad bacteria off. And
Well, and I get, as I understand it, I was doing a little research. I guess people were fermenting foods with salts even back before refrigeration was a thing. So this is kind of how fermentation became a very popular way, you know, back in the old days to not only eat something that's good for you and healthy, but to preserve food.
There's actually reference to salted cabbage in Roman literature.
Wow. That's amazing.
You have to assume that that was producing sauerkraut, but it didn't. Obviously, the Romans didn't use the German word.
Yeah. So is there something special about the cabbage that's why it's used for this? Or is it just because it's tasty?
It's tasty. It's probably a real productive crop.
Okay.
Even way back then.
Right, like a hardy crop. Yeah.
Right, and it really comes out, it's fairly consistent. I mean, you will notice a slight change from batch to batch, but besides that, I mean, you could probably start comparing the flavors and the everything like wine, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some, this vintage is, whatever. You could go on and on with that, but overall, it's fairly consistent.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big cabbage fan, and we actually, way earlier in the season, we did a produce tasting of broccoli versus cabbage raw, and cabbage won out. You know, I think it's an underrated vegetable.
Totally.
It's sweet and crunchy, and it can do wonderful things like sauerkraut, so I'm team cabbage.
So tell us, you were talking about the flavors. So, you know, how much sauerkraut do you have fermenting right now? And how long maybe does it take you to take a batch? And then can you get into the different flavors you're making?
Sure. So right now, it's just moving tanks around. I only have four tanks fermenting. My tanks are 55-gallon drums. So, and the drum will hold about 380 pounds.
Whoa.
So,
that's a lot of cabbage. That's a lot of sauerkraut.
Yeah. So I've got four of those, so 1,500 pounds right now. And winter months are slower than summer months for me, but still a large portion of my revenue is from farmers markets. And the farmers markets die down in the winter months.
Sure.
So I don't have as much fermenting. Summertime I'll have 12 to 15 tanks fermenting at one time, so about three times as much. I've had over 4,000 pounds fermenting at once.
Wow, that's amazing.
I have to prepare ahead. I have to realize I've got, because it takes minimum 3 weeks, I want to estimate ahead of time what I'm going to need, and I'm staying ahead of it right now.
Okay. So 3 weeks from start to finish to make a batch, basically.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right. So at the 3 week mark, I start pulling it out and bottling it. Next up, you asked me about my flavor profiles. I have five flavors that I currently offer. The one that I call the classic has caraway seed. It's a traditional spice for sauerkraut. Love that one. That's the one you'd put on a classic Reuben sandwich. I also have red cabbage with ginger. That's got a big ginger kick to it.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Love that one love that in a fish taco. Great with barbecue. The ginger and barbecue sauce go together well, so anything barbecued.
Fish taco. I would never, that makes total sense. I mean, we put cabbage slaw in fish tacos, so why not ginger sauerkraut? That would be delicious.
Exactly. Skip the cabbage slaw, and this adds a little twist to it.
Sure. A little acidity, a little brightness. That's fantastic.
Exactly. Then I have horseradish version that has no heat to it, despite having horseradish. It's just a little horseradish in it, and it changes the overall composition of it. That's my personal favorite. Love that one.
And how do you like to use that one? I mean, I'm kind of picturing it on like a French dip or something, and some sort of roast beef slider. Or how would you use the horseradish?
Yeah, well, that's kind of a funny thing, because I think we all tend to get stuck in a rut food wise sometimes, and I have this question repeatedly where people come up and say, well, what should I have this with besides sausages or hot dogs? And I think, what don't you have it with? Sauerkraut goes with every meal in my house. I love it with breakfast. I love it with eggs. My apologies to the vegan listeners or vegetarian listeners, but I'm an omnivore, and I always pair it with meat and protein dishes like that. So I love it with eggs for breakfast, have it on sandwiches, tossed in salads, topped on potatoes, great with roasted vegetables. So, yeah, roast beef sandwich or any kind of sandwich. I actually have two customers who put it sauerkraut on peanut butter sandwiches.
You're kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. But, well, you know, but peanut butter, though, has got, you know, all of, you know, salt, fat, acid, heat, right? Those are the four components of flavor that we're looking for when we're cooking. So you've peanut butter, you've kind of got, you've got the fat component and you've got, you know, that creaminess and, you know, sort of a semi-sweet texture. So I can sort of see where that acid comes into play with the sauerkraut, but.
Right, and the fat in that, diced avocado tossed with sauerkraut makes a great little salad.
Yeah, no, that sounds right? like a great idea. Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. And I love your idea of doing sauerkraut with your eggs. Again, you know, probiotics, great way to start your morning, healthy way to start your morning. You know, let's talk about that. Can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, what makes sauerkraut so good for us?
Yeah, well, the primary thing is the probiotic element. I could also talk about, you know, it's high in vitamin C.
Is it really?
I have vitamin C. It is. But, I think vitamin C is really not something that we struggle to get. I mean, it's readily available. Although, oddly enough, I met a guy at the farmer's market a year or so ago who was a young guy. He was in his 20s and said his roommate had been diagnosed with scurvy a couple years prior because all he was eating was fast food.
Wow. That's incredible. So, yeah.
I mean, okay, here's an orange, you're cured.
Exactly. Well,
right,
you know,
here's a bite of sauerkraut. Just get over yourself and eat some sauerkraut.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, so much of, you know, how we're feeling, again, our immune systems, all of that is tied to our gut. And so the more we can, you know, shop and buy healthy foods from purveyors like yourself and our other farmers at the market to make sure we're putting good, you know, healthy things into our body, it's just going to make us all live longer, feel better, be more productive, all of those things.
Right, right. And so they're learning more and more things about the role of our gut health in our overall health. And sauerkraut's a great way to add that probiotic that we all need. And, you know, I get people saying, oh, I really need this. Well, we all really need this.
Exactly. Did we miss any other flavors? We talked horseradish, ginger, regular sauerkraut. What are we missing before we have to go?
I have two others. I have my garlic dill, which I made to taste like a classic kosher dill pickle. It's got garlic dill and mustard seed. Very garlicky, that one. Tends to be the best seller at the farmer's market.
Ah, good to know.
Yeah. And then my newest is apple ginger. So apple has a apple in sauerkraut. There's a history of that in Germany, and I just wanted to spice it up a little bit with the ginger, and that's probably my close second favorite. So it's one that hasn't quite caught on like the others. But I'm sure it will.
Well, you know, I would have expected, we were talking about a lot of, you know, potato latkes over Hanukkah, and I would think that an apple sauerkraut would be delicious with that.
Great, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
It has a fruity note, and a lot of people expect it to be sweet, but it's not at all sweet. In fact, there's more sugar in the initial stages to ferment, so it's got the potential to taste even a little more sour.
Oh, wow. Well, where can people, other than the Napa Farmers Market, do you have a website? Are you on social media? Where can they find you?
Right. I'm on social media. I have a website. Oh, boy, don't go to my website. myself and my expertise is in making sauerkraut.
Okay. Well, you have a Facebook page.
I have a Facebook page.
Salt and Savor.
Right. Salt and Savor. Don't forget the U in Savor. S-A-V-O-U-R. And I don't have any stores in the Napa area yet. I have about 20 retail outlets between Southern Oregon and Sacramento area. And so I'm new to Napa Farmers Market, obviously, and that farmers markets have been a good way to introduce the product to a region and then usually start getting some store demand.
Sure.
Within a few months of that. So hopefully I'll be in some stores in the area.
Absolutely. We love to see our market businesses grow. So, well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, David. We really appreciate it. And we look forward to, at least I look forward to, trying more flavors of your salt and savor sauerkraut.
That's
at
right.
Our Napa Farmers Market.
That's right. We'll see you at the market.
Thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it.
All
great
right.
Talking with you.
All right. Talk
Bye-bye.
To you soon.
I'll see you Saturday.
All right. Sounds
Saturday.
Good. Bye. All right. We will be taking a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be welcoming Hillary Zunin from Can Do and Give Guide. So stay tuned.
Mercedes-Benz of Fairfield would like to thank you for your overwhelming trust. During the most wonderful time of the year, make sure to check out the Mercedes-Benz Winter Event special holiday offers and then put your driving mittens on and schedule a test drive today. Justin, Todd, Chooks, they're all waiting for you to just stop by and say hi. Mercedes-Benz of Fairfield looks forward to being by your side and exploring new routes together in 2019. Happy holidays!
Welcome back to Farmers Fresh Hour. We are brought to you by American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture, and I believe we are ready to talk Give Guide. Hillary, are you with us?
I sure am.
Yay!
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you so much for...
Team effort. Thank you so much.
Yeah. It's the magic of local radio.
Exactly.
Local radio and collaboration.
Yes.
Kind of a perfect thing.
Well, we know that you were going to be able to try to be here in studio with us, but that didn't work out. But we're so glad that we were able to get you on the line this morning.
Yeah,
me too.
That's great.
Wonderful. Well, tell us first about Can Do. Why don't you give us that background?
Napa Valley Can Do is, and it astonishes me to say so, nearly 10 years old.
Wow.
We are a very small grassroots, all-volunteer nonprofit. We don't have an office. We don't have any paid employees. We are neighbors helping neighbors. And when we started, one of the first projects we did was to rally the county, every town and the county itself, to create ordinances to get rid of single-use plastic bags.
That's right.
Fantastic.
That was a big project. Took 4 years to build consensus. But we do other things. When we recognize an unmet community need, we try to step in and make things happen.
Yes, that's...
One of those things provides food to the food bank every 2 months. We've provided about 150,000 pounds so far.
And that's near and dear to our heart at the farmers market as well. We're
yes.
contributing weekly to the food bank.
Right, and we appreciate, you know, Karen Garcia's efforts to take our donations from the farmers market every Saturday to the food bank. And
that's right. So there are two streams of food that are needed.
Yes.
One's non-perishable.
Of course.
We want folks to have lots of fresh fruits and vegetables, too, so we have a large organic garden. That all goes to the food bank. And as you say, our volunteers on Saturdays take the generous donations of local farmers and vendors and bring them right to the food bank so they don't go to waste.
It's fantastic.
Well, let's get into Give Guide. You're one of the founders, really, of Give Guide. Is that correct?
I am. It's an idea that started in Portland, Oregon. It's about 15 or 16 years old up there. We saw it, we loved it, and we thought we might be able to emulate it and adapt it for Napa. Theirs is huge. They're in a big city.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in our sixth year. We've raised to date about $1.5 million.
Wow.
For local nonprofits.
Wow. Quick. We need a little bit of applause for that. That's amazing.
Shout out
That's
to
wonderful.
Our community.
We don't take a cut. Every bit of the money that people donate goes to the nonprofits they select. Donations start at $10. They can write a check and send it to us using the catalog that goes out to 50,000 people, or they can go online at NV, Napa Valley Give Guide, giveguide.org. That's give, like G-I, Victor, V-E, giveguide.org. And they can have an Amazon-like experience where you give $10 to one nonprofit and $12 to another and $15 to a third. And then all those donations get wrapped up in one swipe on your credit card.
That's right. And we at the Napa Farmers Market, we really appreciate the work that the Give Guide does for us as a small nonprofit to help us up our fundraising game. You know, we have the Market Match program, which is what we are raising money for. And the Market Match program will double CalFresh or food stamp dollars that families can spend on nutritious produce at the Napa Farmers Market. So we really haven't done fundraising as part of our, you know, normal operations. So this year, when we were selected to be in the Give Guide again, we wanted to first make sure that we had a very clear message and a clear story about what a donation to the Napa Farmers Market would do and how wonderful it is that it's not just a donation, it's actually doubling the amount of money that families that may be experiencing food insecurity can have to get really healthy food. So we just think it's great because it allows us to get our message out to the wider community and also think about ways that we can continue with fundraising and messaging throughout the year.
It's such an important story, and it hits on three really key tenets of what the Give Guide is doing. We're trying to raise funds, of course. We're trying to raise awareness. We want people to understand that the farmers market needs funds to operate, that people should be aware of all the good that's happening through the market, not just when you pick up a great cup of coffee and a pastry and some strawberries.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But that there are people being encouraged and helped to shop to get terrific, fresh, local produce. And the other piece, the third tenet, is collaboration. And the Give Guide has worked really hard to build a network of nonprofits supporting each other. So we're not just saying, give me the money, give me the money. The farmers market has presented for, I think, 3 years now. Correct me if I'm wrong on that.
I think that's about right.
Goes to the farmers market.
Oh, yes. That was a super fun event.
And we had like 20 of the Give Guide's 46 nonprofits were there at tables, greeting people, helping them understand what a strong nonprofit network.
Exactly.
Well,
Hillary, we've only got a couple of minutes left, so why don't we touch on what are the categories of nonprofits that are eligible to be in the Give Guide?
There are a couple of things people need to know. It's simple. If you've been a 501c3 recognized nonprofit serving Napa County for 2 years, you're welcome to apply. There are six categories. Seven, I think. You're going to have to help me with this if I get caught up. Animals, education, mm-hmm. environment, mm-hmm. health and wellness, mm-hmm. youth and seniors, mm-hmm. arts and culture, community.
Yes.
That's seven.
All those groups are working to help the community thrive.
And how much longer do people have to give? We've touched on this earlier in the show, but why don't you give the details?
The program runs from November 1st to December 31st. I'll say two things. One, quick story. Last year, our last donation came in at 11:57, New Year's Eve. Oh. A guy at a bar.
I love it.
It sounds like a joke. No. A guy at a bar called the Give Guide and said, I thought my wife donated for us.
Oh, my gosh.
We happily took his donation.
Yes. Of course.
And the other piece is everybody who donates to the Give Guide, even when they're doubling what the farmers market can do for its participants, every donor gets a gift from Can Do and six local businesses. So in January, you can get free chocolates at Annette's. You can get a free pizza at The Forge, a cup of coffee at Ritual.
Wow.
Wow. All so a lot of great incentives locally. To give. I love that. Well, Hillary, we have to go, but thank you so much. We're so grateful to everything you're doing with Give Guide.
That's right.
We love what you're doing, and thank you so much for being open on Saturdays this winter.
Of course.
Fantastic.
That's right.
Wonderful.
Okay,
thank you.
Bye-bye, Hillary.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Oh, that is so great. What a wonderful program. So, Cara May, we have just a few seconds before we go.
Yes.
Do you want to touch on some things that are happening Saturday?
Sure. Well, we are having story time at 10:30, and I think we have a special guest reader named Tia Butts.
Oh, yes, that's right. It's my day to read. I can't wait.
That's
I love the
great.
Kiddos.
And we are going to be doing a special produce tasting at 11. We're going to be tasting colorful cauliflower. So I know we've been tasting fruits, but we want to give veggies a shot and see what different colors of cauliflower taste like. And that's it. But we hopefully will be seeing you all at the market.
That's right. And thank you for joining us for another wonderful Farmers Fresh Hour brought to you by American Ag Credit, money for agriculture. We look forward to seeing you for our last show.
All right. Yeah.
Next Saturday. Meanwhile, have a wonderful day and we'll see you soon.
See you at the market.
This is Belia Ramos, supervisor for Napa County's 5th District, and you're listening to KVON Napa.
As a farmer or rancher, you know that agricultural land is not like other real estate. We know that too. Come see the experts in agriculture, American Ag Credit. Whether you're buying property, building, or making improvements, American Ag Credit is here to help with fixed rates, variable rates, long and short-term loans. Unique solutions tailored to your unique needs. Visit us online at agloan.com. American Ag Credit, money for agriculture.